Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Special thanks to Visa for sponsoring today's podcast. Visa's dedicated to their vision of being the best way to pay and be paid everywhere. Worldwide, Visa has the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa helps you get to where you would like to be by making payments fast and easy, wherever, whenever. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
We begin this morning with Sunday Night Football. You got Carson Wentz and the Eagles in Dallas to face Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. And this was one way to break a three-game skid. Feed Zeke. That made it 14-0 in the first. Finished with 147 yards from scrimmage. Second quarter now, Dak connects with Blake Jarwin to put the boys up 21-7. Eagles trying to stay in it. That doesn't help. Wentz intercepted in the fourth, one of his three turnovers on the day. It's a bad day for the Eagles. Cowboys, they go on to win 37-10. And with that, they now take sole possession of first place in the NFC East. Here's Dak Prescott after the win.
Feels great. Yeah, it's a great team win. The best complimentary football that we've played all year long. Offense, defense making plays, getting us on the plus side of the field, us being able to capitalize on them, being able to do that early, score touchdowns early. Something that we've been trying to get to all year long, and we were able to do that tonight.
All right, we'll talk about the Eagles in just a second, but as far as the Cowboys are concerned, did they prove last night they're the best team in the NFC East?
Well, head-to-head, if you weren't coming into this game, thinking that the Eagles were a lot better than the Cowboys, you'd have to leave thinking that the Cowboys right now, because regardless of what we thought before the season, regardless of what we with their injuries, teams are adapting. And right now, the teams that we see, and that's the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, the team that I saw was a lot better than the Eagles. I don't know who the Philadelphia Eagles are. And the Dallas Cowboys, they did get good news late in the week. You could start to see Amari Cooper. They made him work out on Friday, made him go at full speed. Tyron Smith was back in the lineup. So if we look at the last year of football, when Amari Cooper is healthy and available for Dak, when Tyron Smith is healthy and available for the Cowboys, they're a good offensive football team. And you could see last night, they put everything together. Capitalized on the turnovers. It was a hard-hitting game in this fierce rivalry. Took advantage of those turnovers, creating big plays. Ezekiel Elliott was special the way he always is. And the other four meetings against the Philadelphia Eagles. So for me, this was a dominant performance by the Cowboys. And it was nice to see the Cowboys back at full strength, because over the last 3 weeks, we didn't know what type of Cowboys team we were going to see.
It was a spectacular performance by Dallas. And finally, through 7 weeks of the season and a few months of offseason where we talk about the Cowboys almost every day, see, I think I have finally figured the Cowboys out. I think I finally understand this team. And it is very simple. When they are at full strength, they can play with anyone and they can look great. As soon as you remove not multiple, just one of their potential key ingredients, whether that's Amari or Tyron Smith or Zeke, as we saw in the suspension, if you remove any one of those things from the homeostasis they want to be at, they're a disaster. They can lose to the Jets. They can be down 31-3 to Green Bay. But when we found out Saturday afternoon that it looks like, wait, not one, but both tackles are going to play. Not just Amari, but Amari and Randall Cobb are going to play. That changed, for me, some of the analysis of the game. We talked on Friday about how the Cowboys had injuries that were clustered at critical spots, their tackles, their wide receivers, their corners. The only player who ended up missing of those six we were concerned about was the one corner. And Dallas, when they have their full complement of players, they can go out there and do this to you. Now, it's an indictment on Philly, and I know you said we're going to get to it. Philly's a team that I think many people just flatly got wrong about how talented are they really. But for the Cowboys, Dak played really well. Zeke, you mentioned it. He's now averaging 163 yards from scrimmage in his five career games against the Eagles. The Cowboys are 5-0 in those games. And they got off to the start that Philly said they wanted to get off to. Philly said, oh, we're going to take the ball. We're going to get off to a good start. Dallas, who had struggled mightily in the first half of games dating back to week three, was spectacular in the first half, tried to put the game away in the first half, up 27-7 at the end of the half with the Brett Maher 63-yard field goal, and it was off and running. The Cowboys were spectacular and, to me, did assert themselves as the best team in the division, because who is Philadelphia?
Right, and I think we took Dallas's first three wins of the season with a grain of salt because of the opposition. Yes. Yesterday was against a good team. They were full strength, but it was a balanced attack that you saw from the Cowboys. And as you said, it was probably the best all-around game we've seen from them. On the other side of it, you have to wonder, we talk about this identity that the Eagles seem to not have. Boy, they showed none of that yesterday. How concerned are you with what the Eagles put out there?
Well, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about their offensive line for, say, this three-year window they've been in. We've always talked about how great they are. Lane Johnson, we always talk about, man, he can play left tackle. He's so good. But not only do they have Peters, their left tackle, out, Johnson's not playing well at the right tackle. He got dominated in last night's game. So I'm surprised at Philadelphia because they are very, very talented. And they're only missing a couple pieces. DeSean Jackson, we know that he's out. But would he be the answer if he was back? No, I don't think so, because their defense is not a good defense. Their linebacking core, because they have so many defensive tackles hurt, you can take advantage of their linebacking core and run the ball against them. So we knew this defense had two question marks, linebacking core and the secondary. Both of those are still in question. So to me, how do they get it back together, having the deepest roster that we've seen? This year is a great example. Talent is not enough in the league. If you look at the San Diego Chargers, the LA Chargers, and if you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, there's no one who's rating the rosters that would not have these two rosters in the top five. But we have seen both of these organizations struggle this year. So talent this year, obviously it's not enough. Both of them do have a number of injuries, but so do a number of other teams that are managing a lot better.
I would add another team to that list, maybe not in the top five as talent, but certainly top five offensive talent, the Atlanta Falcons, which right now look like one of the worst teams in football. Like, you're totally correct. The talent's not enough. And Philadelphia might be on paper a good team, but through this season, they've given no evidence of it. I think we might look back and say, wow, the outlier event of the NFL season was Philadelphia going to Green Bay and winning. That game maybe tricked us a bit on Philly, and maybe confirmation bias as far as the team that they said they were going to be, that they could be that team. But this team, Doug Peterson's trying to pull out all his tricks. None of them are working. I'll guarantee a victory. All for the first time since week 13 of 2016. If we win the toss, we're taking the ball. How'd that work out for you? And the team, and I'm hesitant to ever level this criticism, the team's effort level seems to be far lower than I'm used to. Late in this football game, they're down 20 points with 11 minutes left. And Wentz throws what I thought was maybe his best ball of the night, the deep pass to Aguilar across the field. And Aguilar, I mean, you can see it right here. Aguilar doesn't even try for it. I mean, and on the... I don't know if you're going to catch that, but to alligator arm it like that.
At least extend your arm.
Laying out on the turf, I understand can be painful, but this is a good pass with your man beat, and he keeps his arms in.
Sometimes on TV, those balls are a little more deceptive. And to me, it looked like his gait was a little off, like he didn't want to pop his hamstring. So I could understand the rest of the team, but One play does not make a game.
Of course. No. And that, to me, was the only reason I even wanted to show it was, to me, it was indicative of what I saw from them throughout the night. Late on the next drive, you had a player with an opportunity, I thought, to get out of bounds and get a first down, and just goes down. Philly, to me, right now, they are a team that is struggling with confidence, and they are struggling to figure out who they are. And you can see it where, once the beginning of that game went wrong, the two early turnovers, there was a bit of a waving of the white flag. They had one drive all game, and it was extended by 30 yards of personal foul penalties. Mm-hmm. They were unable to move the ball. They were unable to stop Dallas in what was their biggest game of the season.
Wasn't great, but for Dallas, who did put it all together, they did look good. So time for Putting a Grade On. It's sponsored by CarMax. Ezekiel Elliott, he had a big game last night, the game we've been waiting for, 111 yards and a touchdown on the ground to go along with six catches for 36 yards through the air. Nick, put a grade on Zeke's night.
See, you ever have a class through high school and college, what is a certain subject that you just always knew you're going to get an A in, just no matter what?
I was always good at math.
Math? So, for math to Chris Carter is the Eagles for Ezekiel Elliott. No matter what, no matter the year, no matter the circumstance, I'm going to kill him. You got to give him an A. He's had in every single game he's ever played against him.
Worst grade I ever got in math was a B.
Well, he's never even had that against the Eagles.
Zeke is exceptional. I think because he missed training camp, this is the best game, because look how many times he made people miss. Look how more explosive he looked on the edge. He even took people to the sideline, then cut back into traffic. I think A+. This is the best game I've seen him. Exciting for the Dallas Cowboys to have him at full strength, because he is a special, special runner.
Zeke was doing what we're used to seeing as rookie in second year, falling forward every time. You hit him, he gets the extra 2 yards falling forward.
He was also, if you listen to any of his press conference, the happiest he's been after a game so far this
great
season.
Great win. Hey guys, Nick Wright here to talk about Lightstream credit card bills. Every month you get them with multiple payments and multiple due dates. Wouldn't it be easier to just have one payment at a lower rate? Well, you can with a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. And you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Just for First Things First listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/FTF. That's lightstream.com/FTF. Of course, subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/FTF for more information.
On to the Vikings and the Lions. And if you had doubts about Kirk Cousins coming in, you did not have him going out. Cousins threw for 337 yards and for the second straight game threw four touchdowns. Stephon Diggs, who had 167 yards last week, had 142 in this one. And Dalvin Cook finished with 142 yards himself and two touchdowns on the ground. Vikings win a big one, 42-30. The only bad news, Adam Thielen had to leave the game with a hamstring injury after scoring a touchdown. Let's talk some Kirk Cousins. See, has he proven he can carry this team?
No. Kirk Cousins is one of those kind of guys that regardless of what type of season he has, regardless of what type of game, you're always looking for either the next season or the next game that he's going to come back down to earth. So, no, in Detroit on a Sunday, no. Because we have seen too many times where Kirk Cousins in primetime, even though the last 3 weeks of the season, you cannot say there's a quarterback that's played better than he has. I mean, he has played phenomenal. 3 weeks in a row. Can he keep that up for the season? No. I mean, he's challenged as a quarterback. He's got his limitations as a quarterback. And also, because he's been so inconsistent throughout his career, he will always be one of those kind of guys. He's like Nick Foles. Nick Foles, until he won the Super Bowl, we say, oh, man, can he start for you? Yeah, but can he carry you as a quarterback? No. Kirk Cousins is the same way. He's been phenomenal the last 3 weeks. We should give him credit for that. And their schedule has eased up a little bit. So the Vikings can get on a little run. He has improved, though, because he's taking care of the ball, not making bad decisions with the football, and spreading the ball around.
To your point about these last 3 weeks, 10 touchdowns, one pick, 325 yards passing a game, and a 139 quarterback rating. He has been sensational. And to the point about the schedule, they get Washington on Thursday. They then get an extension, so they get a mini bye week before they face Kansas City, with assuming no Patrick Mahomes. And then a couple weeks later, they have Denver. So they absolutely, like, 7-3, 8-3 is a very realistic possibility for these Minnesota Vikings, which is critical given what the Packers are doing, given what other teams in the NFC are doing, and the Saints and the Niners. Like, that top of the NFC is stacked. But for them to go to Detroit, a Detroit team that we talked about at 2-2-1 going into this game, but could have been 5-0, certainly could have been 4-1, and the defense had been really good. If you would have told me the Vikings are going to go to Detroit and win, I'd have believed you, but I would have thought they would have won 21-17, that they would have been defensive, maybe 20-16, right, something like that. For them to go there, have Matt Stafford play well. He threw for, what, 4 touchdowns, a 111 rating, over 350 yards, and Kirk Cousins just out-dueled him to go along with Dalvin Cooksey, who shouldn't be forgotten in this. He went for another game where he went for a 140 on the ground. The Vikings offensive line's playing better, the quarterback's playing better, and they can start to gain some confidence, especially with Washington on this short week.
Yeah, it's easier for Cousins if Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook should be the focal point of their offense. You make a great point. What's held them back the last couple years is a lack of an elite offensive line. That offensive line really did improve, and you can start to see it through Dalvin Cook, which has also helped out Kirk Cousins.
Moving on to the Saints. They played Chicago, and if you thought the season was over for New Orleans when Drew Brees went down, you were sadly mistaken. Teddy Bridgewater having to do it without Alvin Kamara in this one, but he did it and did not disappoint. 281 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Saints win 36-25. They improved to 6-1. Teddy Bridgewater is now 5-0 since taking over for Drew Brees. Listen, everybody knows what Drew Brees brings to the table, but there's got to be a little bit of, okay, everything's going great. Nothing's real. We haven't even lost a game. Teddy Bridgewater's in there. Maybe we don't want to rock the boat until we have to rock the boat. But see, how impressed have you been with Teddy Bridgewater?
It's been great for him. It's been great for his career. We wondered how effective he was. Teddy Bridgewater is one of those kind of people, too, that if you've been covering the game, you're cheering for him because he's a great guy, has a horrific story, horrific knee injury there in Minnesota that altered his career. But Sean Payton traded for him for a reason. We thought that him and Jacoby Brissett were the best backups that we had in the NFL, and they are showing. Not only is your backup important, but yes, Nick and I, we were correct about that one right there. Both of them playing outstanding. But let's not get this twisted. Drew Brees is amazing. And Sean Payton, even though he's starting to open up the playbook the last couple games, they've won these 5 games, 3 of them on the road. You got to credit their special teams, credit their defense, and their team, because this is a team that's tested the last couple years. They've had heartbreaks. Minneapolis Miracle, they lose to the Vikings. Next year, the call against the Rams. Rams go on to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, but this team is well tested. And in this stretch of 5 games where they went on the road and won 3 times, it's the most impressive stretch we've seen of any team this year. And you got to give Sean Payton credit, because the first couple games, very, very conservative. Last 3, he's opened up that playbook a little bit more for Teddy.
Yeah, they've won 2 of these games scoring less than 14 points, which is 2 wins this year scoring less than 14 points. They had 1 win scoring less than 14 points in the entire Drew Brees era prior to this season. Sean Payton's your coach of the year in the NFL, and I don't really care what happens the rest of the season. If you can lose Drew Brees, and Teddy, I do believe, is the best backup, and I think he's going to be a starter next year. Hell, he might be a starter for the team they were playing last night next year. But what they have done, and by the way, also Mickey Loomis and the building of that roster.
Yes.
Players 1 through 53, seeing how deep this team is, how many different ways they can beat you. And if you didn't watch this football game, you need to understand something. This game was 36-10. With 3 minutes left, and 7 of the 10 came on a Bears kick return touchdown. The Saints had a safety. The Saints were forcing turnovers. The Saints were spectacular in every phase of the game yesterday. And then the Bears had two late touchdowns that don't really matter to make the score look
very deceiving.
I mean, they won this game by 25 points, it felt like, and that's what it was trending towards. And if you're the Saints right now, and see, you've got it in front of you, but if you look at the schedule, you're like, okay, we've gotten through this, right? Where we thought you needed to go 3-3. They've got Arizona, and Arizona's won 3 in a row. Then they have a bye. Then Atlanta. Then Tampa. A home game for Carolina. Then Atlanta again before they face a really tough San Francisco team that's in New Orleans, by the way. A game that, by the way, maybe that's for the one seed. Who knows?
Yes.
I do know this, that if you'd have told anyone in football Drew Brees is going to be out 6 weeks, if you could take it right now, guarantee it, would they take 3-3?
They would take 3-3.
They would have taken it sight unseen, say, we're going to stay alive. And we talked about Patrick Mahomes earlier, see? The Chiefs do not have a roster 1-53 that can sustain this injury to their quarterback. No. And so what they're doing, no Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
And you do this to the Chicago defense.
Oh, yeah, the backup rushes for 119.
Everyone's going to talk about Trubisky and how bad he is. That's fine. But Trubisky don't play defense for the Bears. And what the Saints did
there, to that defense
was remarkable. I thought if they won, it was going to be 9-7. Instead, they win 36-25, really going away.
Really like this Teddy Bridgewater story.
So he's going to be a starting quarterback in the league next year.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Patrick Mahomes is hopeful he'll be back in less than 3 weeks from his dislocated kneecap. But with Mahomes out, Kansas City will rely on their other offensive stars like two-time All-Pro Travis Kelce, who leads all tight ends with 541 receiving yards this season, kind enough to get up and join us this morning. Travis, thanks so much for hanging with us today.
It's good to see you guys, man. Always good.
All right, I want to start by asking you about Mahomes, as we just talked about. Now that we know the injury isn't as bad as it could have been, take us back to the moment. You just, how scary was it? What was your mentality? We were on the field. You saw him. We saw his reaction. It really looked scary to us. Just kind of take us back through it.
I mean, everyone knows it was a QB sneak on either the third or fourth down. And we were trying to get everyone off the pile, and then we saw the pack didn't move. So everyone's trying to figure out what's wrong with him, because he really isn't in a panic. He's kind of just laying there and knows that he can't move. And once you look at his knee, he started pointing at his knee. And once you look at his knee, it was like, that doesn't look like a knee. I don't know what that is right there, but the kneecap was in a different place. And it was just, it wasn't a good sight to see. Didn't know whether, he was going to be back in the game or obviously, you never know how long he's going to be out. So it's just it's good to hear that it's not as bad as everyone originally thought it is, and that he's getting healthier every day.
Travis, there's been a number of teams that have a great deal of success with a backup quarterback. We know you guys change your mentality when Matt Moore comes into the lineup in last week's game. Now moving forward, as a veteran tight end, who I believe is the best tight end in the NFL, what adjustments are you going to make sure that Matt Moore is comfortable and this offense still runs smoothly until you get Patrick Mahomes back?
The biggest thing is just try not to do too much. You know, who we are as an offense is always going to be good enough. We got players in the locker room that, you know, it matters to them. So we're going to go out there and we're going to compete every single day, every single play. But trying not to do too much and just being ourselves, I think that'll be just fine because Matty Moore can come in and dice it up.
Travis, I was really impressed by your guys' ability as a team to, moments after Patrick Mahomes went out, when it looked like he was going to have to be carted out and then he walked off the field, to immediately turn the page. It's something Chris talks about all the time, that no matter who the player is, you have to have the ability to do it. I think you guys responded better than Chiefs fans responded, who were terrified sitting at home watching. You guys really rallied. Defense played its best game of the year once Patrick Mahomes went out. How important now that you especially know Mahomes' timeline was that win, and was for the defense the confidence that, oh, we do have this type of game in us, even if we haven't shown it the first 6 weeks of the year?
Oh, yeah. It was a huge confidence boost for our defense to be able to stuff Denver like that. I mean, it was they played lights out all game long. It was the first drive that is the only time they scored, I believe. And even then, they ended the drive by stopping a two-point conversion. So everything was building up for them all game. And to see them get that many sacks, play that well together, it made it that much easier for the offense to be able to rally together knowing that Pat was down.
Obviously, Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill was something we were all looking forward to. We didn't get that much time to see that. But does Hill being back in the lineup bring a different element to this offense, regardless of who the quarterback is?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it matters for sure. Don't get me wrong, but Tyreek Hill being on the field changes everything from a defensive perspective. I think him being the fastest guy in the league, he automatically puts a cap on the defense. You have to play 20 to 25 yards off the ball as a safety, as the deep third defender. And it's just with him being on the field, it makes everyone else kind of open up. And that's what you get with playing with one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League and being Tyreek Hill.
Travis, I remember talking to you after you got drafted by Kansas City, giving you some background on Andy Reid, telling you what a special place it was with their fans, and also how Andy was going to help you out. Also on that staff, you guys have as the OC, Eric Bieniemy. Eric is a guy I'm very, very familiar with. How important has your overall development been with Andy Reid and offensive mind, but also you and Eric Bieniemy, you got into a little something on the sidelines. I know you squashed it, but you talked about how important this coaching staff is in getting the best out of Travis Kelce. Can you elaborate on that for us?
I mean, Coach Reid being the unbelievable coach he is, I mean, he's done it year in, year out for countless amount of years. I've been so thankful just to be under his offense, let alone be able to pick his brain about the tight end position, which he's coached in the past. But even on top of that, Coach Eric Bieniemy, he's one of the best OCs in the game right now. And he's been one of my favorite coaches since I've been here. He knows I love him, and we're both very competitive. So what you saw on the sideline was just two competitive minds going after it, and him holding me accountable throughout the game. And, you know, I love him for it. I love him for it. It got me going, and sure enough, we ended up definitely squashing that, but moving on forward to better things and find a way to get a win last week.
You had, I thought, a really interesting, if not just a little tongue-in-cheek quote before the season, I think at a fan event, where you said, listen, if you think we're going to pass, we're going to pass. And if you think we're going to run, we're probably going to pass it anyway. And that is who you guys were through the first 6 weeks of the season. Even at times, it felt maybe to the team's detriment, being you've got you, Tyreek, all these weapons, Patrick Mahomes, why would you not pass? But it kept the defense on the field a ton, and you guys had the two-game losing streak. With Patrick now out, how confident are you in the running back core, and do you think the Chiefs will get to maybe a little bit more of a balanced offense that could pay dividends once Patrick comes back?
I mean, in terms of league-wide, I really do believe we have the best skill players in the league, and that counts in the running back room too. I mean, LeSean and Damian, both those guys, they're a two-headed monster back there when we get the ball in their hands, and I don't think anything really switches up that much. I honestly believe Matty Moore can come in and fill the needs that we need back there at quarterback and get dubs just by the offense that we already have set.
Travis, put put some Kansas City Chiefs fans at ease a little bit. Obviously, some people thought the end of the season was upon us with Patrick Mahomes going out. We saw what happened in New Orleans where Drew Brees went down and they've managed to sort of keep the ship afloat. You guys have a great offense. You're playing very well. And then this happens. You know, what do you say to your fans? What do you do over the course of the next couple weeks to make sure you're in a good position when Mahomes does return to the team?
Just know we have a lot of people in this locker room that care. And that's the biggest thing is when you get a lot of guys that where it means something to them and you're playing for something, for somebody else, you know, a band of brothers grouped together, you know, that's something difficult to stop. That's hard to stop. So I think everybody in this locker room, we just come together just a little bit more, circle the wagons just a little bit more and come together and even finish the season strong. Bearing injury or not, you know, you're going to have to find a way to win. And that's what the Kansas City Chiefs are about. We got Andy Reid back there, so we know we got a chance as long as we got Big Red.
Travis, there's a few pairs of brothers in the NFL that I feel like we talk about a lot. Everybody knows Nicky and Joey are brothers, play same position, similar style. I'm not sure how many people recognize, wait, Travis and Jason Kelsey are brothers. You guys are very different people. You guys have different personalities. You guys both seem to love to have fun, but in different ways. Give me a Jason Kelsey growing up story. Growing up in the same house as him. Not him in the mummer's costume at the parade, but something your brother is going to text you after and say, I can't believe you told that story on television. Give us a good Jason Kelsey, Philadelphia Eagles center story.
Oh man, you just put me on the spot. Golly, everyone sees him as this big, like, tough guy, center in the National Football League, has to move 300-pound men as his job. And, you know, the one story in my mind that I could think of is we're big hockey players growing up. So we would play roller hockey in the driveway. And I remember he went out to the street to turn around to come back because I was playing goalie. And sure enough, he wiped out. I'm talking about right out from under his legs. His blade slipped out from under him. He's flat on his back, and he gets up, Mom! Running in, holding his tail like he had just, you know, got spanked. Oh my goodness, it was the funniest thing ever. I'd never seen such a big kid cry for his mother like that.
That's awesome.
So getting ready for next week's game. I know you've probably taken a little bit of a film study with Green Bay. They do have a defense now. We know Aaron Rodgers. You know you got to score points, keep them on the sideline. But looking at Green Bay, what are some of the problems they present for this Kansas City offense?
Man, honestly, I haven't really peeked at them that much other than the night game they had the other week. They got Aaron Rodgers. It's the Green Bay Packers, man. Now, you know you're in for a fight. A lot of tradition going even in between these two teams. I mean, a lot of tradition. And I think the more I look at the film, the more I'll realize, you know, what we got to really do to attack and find a way to win.
All right, Travis, before you go, tell us about your partnership with Old Spice.
Old Spice. I'm here on behalf of Old Spice, the official antiperspirant of the NFL. And, you know, they're always irrationally finding a way to tackle odor and sweat. You know, it's in every single locker room, and it being the official antiperspirant of the NFL, even Montez Sweat of the Redskins is not safe. With the new 48-hour sweat and odor protection and the antiperspirant, the Sweat Defense Dry Spray, everyone go check it out.
I hope they're paying you well, because that was fantastic.
That was great. Hey, Travis, real quick before you go, you're having another great year, but only one touchdown. You should have two, but your guy, my guy, Patrick Mahomes, went all fancy week one, went no look and missed you on it. He tweeted he was going to buy you lunch or buy you something. Did he actually ever come through on that and pay off that debt?
You know what? He's bought a few meals over the years. So
oh,
I'm
that's
not mad
a no. That's a no. He still owes you.
Some touchdowns where I had no business scoring. So trust me, it goes both ways. I ain't mad at it. And we got the win, so.
Travis, thank you so much for joining us today. Oh, all the best of luck for the rest of the season. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Travis.
Hope it's good seeing you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.